blessing to have you tonight. I've got a lot of things planned. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Hosea chapter 2 tonight. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're going through the Old Testament here on Wednesday nights and dealing with the book of Hosea. And I just want to say this real quickly. Remember that Hosea is written kind of like a similitude. In other words, things that are similar. So God sometimes uses things that are very similar in comparison to teach us. And Hosea is one of those. Remember, Hosea was a prophet of God, one of the 12 minor prophets, they're called, and it's the first of our study in the minor prophets. And Israel was a broken country, a broken nation. They were not following God. They were disobedient. And as a result, they were being chastised and dealt with. And it's something none of us like, and yet they were having to go through it. But God had an ultimate purpose with the prophet Hosea. Hosea, what was similar about all this, or the similitude, he was called by God to marry a woman whom he loved, but this woman did not love him like he loved her. She literally was a prostitute. She literally sold herself out. She literally was chasing after her old ways. And God used this similitude to teach us that he, the Lord, loves us. But like Israel, we chase after things we shouldn't be chasing after. We do the wrong things, and they were worshiping idols. So God called that, in a sense, their spiritual adultery against him. And so as a result, we pick up the story tonight. We're going to go back. I can't read all of verses 14 through 23 tonight, but I'm going to give you an overview quickly because we're going to show a film tonight about Israel. But tonight, I want you to look with me beginning at verse 19 and follow along, please. I'm going to read verses 19 through 23 as our starting point of our introductory teaching tonight for this film as well. And he says, I will betroth you to me. The me is capitalized, referring to God. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. And they shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Father God, tonight I thank you, Lord, for your awesome heart that you love us with an everlasting love, and you show mercy to us even when we are disobedient and unfaithful and we've turned away and we've made mistake after mistake and willful decision after willful decision. And God, we've turned away from you, but yet you still reach out to us. You still have that heart of compassion for us, and you want us to bring us home. And Lord, even though this woman's like the prodigal, and the prodigal son, how he turned away from his own father and sought after the riches and things of this world and lost it all, and even the pig food sounded good to him. But God, you haven't brought us to that level of disgrace, but you've picked us up, and you've drawn us close, and you've shown us mercy. Thank you, God. Tonight, speak to us through this introductory teaching as we go through this book of Hosea, as well as everything that's going to take place tonight, all for your glory in Jesus' name. Church, if you agree, say again, amen. And so, broken and spilled out, that was the history of Israel. Well, I want to give you a few comments on this. We've covered so far in this particular chapter. Tonight is part six of our study in the book of Hosea, Israel's spiritual adultery. They had failed to listen to God and to the prophets. And then the judgment of God that took place in chapter 2, verses 6 through 13. And then we left off last week the restoration of Israel, how God was going to restore them in verses 14 through 23, which is part of what we're studying here tonight. And so this restoration of Israel is what we're going to pick up on tonight. I just want to kind of give you a little background in this. That first and foremost, I want you to notice something. Notice in verse 19, he says, in loving kindness and mercy, I will bring you to my marriage relationship, that I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. The word mercy there, in loving kindness and mercy, in verse 19, is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's hesed. And what it means is a faithful, loyal love. Who's faithful and loyal? God. They weren't. And yet, sometimes we aren't so loyal and faithful either, but God's loyal and faithful. We sometimes forget that. And we want to run away from God. I grew up in a church where everything was don't do this and don't do that and don't you ever think about that. And of course, I as a young boy did everything wrong. And yet, God never gave up on me. And he doesn't give up on you either. And even when I went to Vietnam, I talk about my experience in the Marine Corps there. And I was at a position in my life, I thought, well, I just deserve to die. And go ahead and kill me, God, but I'm not going to serve you. And God would tell me quietly in my heart, I'm not going to let you go, Dave. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to keep you alive. And I go, leave me alone. But yet I came back, and there would be 5 years later, that I would turn my heart over to God. And I've never left him ever since. But you know, God shows us his loving kindness. He shows us his mercy, and that always wins. And you know, if couples would love each other that way, there would be a whole different marriage relationship too. But mercy, chesed, what does it mean? Faithful, loyal love. It's used 246 times in your Old Testament. We're not going to take time to look at every verse tonight, okay? So just trust me on that one. You can look it up. But what does it mean? A loyal love with mercy. Mercy means God doesn't give us what we deserve. I mean, his grace is he blesses us when we don't deserve it, but his mercy is he doesn't give us what we really deserve. And I had French fries for dinner tonight, sharing with the Potters, and now I'm really full, but I can tell you this. I would be a French fry if God really gave me what I deserved, but I'm not, thanks be to God. So what are the reasons God is dealing with this similitude right now? He's trying to show, as he told this prophet, to marry this woman and to love her, even though she was unfaithful. That was Israel. Israel was unfaithful. But God's going to win her back. And that's the whole concept, just like he does to us. So there were four reasons. Number one, in verses 2-4, we covered the unfaithful wife was guilty of lust and adultery. Verses 5-7 gives us secondly, the unfaithful wife was guilty of worldliness, of carnal and fleshy behavior in verses 5-7. You can read that story. It's amazing. And then we covered in verses 8-10, the unfaithful wife was guilty of being spiritually blind. She thought she could see, but she couldn't see. She was really spiritual blind. And she didn't know that God was blessing her husband, Hosea, who was providing for her. And yet, she thought that she was the provider by all the things she was getting. And God let her know that your husband was blessed because I'm the one that gave to him so that you would be blessed. And that's the only way you're getting what you're getting. And then, fourthly, the unfaithful wife was guilty of hypocrisy in verses 11-13. And that's where we left off last week. But God is faithful for those who repent. When we repent of our lives and turn away from our own will and desires and turn to God, then God shows us his faithfulness every single time. Now, there are eight promises, and I call it romancing the stone, because this woman's heart was hard. She wouldn't listen. And you talk about romancing the stone, that's exactly what Hosea was supposed to do or trying to do, but God was doing it all along from the background by showing his loving kindness and his mercy. How many times does he do that to us? So maybe we'll learn something personally tonight and how God reaches out to us. So I'm going to give you how God is going to show this mercy and loyal love through these eight promises. Number one, Hosea, he promised to renew his romance with his adulterous wife in verse 14. Look at that. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her in, and she's going to be my honey. Okay, that's a little paraphrase. We'll bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. Wow, what a way to win her heart. What does he mean, wilderness? It means I'm going to bring her into the desert. Why the desert? Because there's no distractions there. There's nothing there. I was stationed in Barstow, and they told me because I was a surfer guy that I should, and I like the sand. I go, no, I don't like the sand. And they said, well, you'll love Barstow. I volunteered to go to Vietnam because I wanted to get out of Barstow. Okay, real truth be told. And then I come back, and they go, you need to stay in the Marine Corps. No. And they go, where's my duty station going to be? And they said, 29 Palms. Okay, I'm out of the Marine Corps as soon as I'm done with that. You're not going to convince me to stay in. But yet, Hosea was to show his wife, honey, I want to take you away from all your distractions. This is a little paraphrase. And I want to bring you to the wilderness. In this case, it's the desert. There's nothing there. If I told my wife we're going to live in the desert, she'd say, have a nice time. And so, no, she wouldn't. But I actually like the desert. We both do. We think it's beautiful, but that would have never convinced her as a wife. And so what did the Lord do through that experience? The Lord, through Hosea's experience, he promised to romance all of the adulterous children of Israel that were turning away from him. So that was the background. So he's going to use Hosea to say, hey, you're going to lure her. I think that there's a perfume named Allure, isn't there? Oh, okay. I've never used it. So, okay, that works. And but I'm going to lure you and draw you in. Well, what God is really doing with this, he says, I'm going to woo you to myself. And that's what he's done. He sometimes takes us into those places and he speaks to our heart. And yet, it's like, I'm going to take you on a vacation, Dave, and I'm going to take you in the wilderness so I can just talk to you. You know, sometimes in my life, God has to get me to quiet down because I talk too much sometimes. And he wants me to stop talking and just listen. And then when he speaks to me and tells me that he loves me, I just love it when he does that. And yet, so then, the next thing. So that's Hosea beginning at verse 14. Verse 15 takes us on another part of that journey. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. The valley of Achor comes out of Joshua when the children of Israel were coming across to go to the Canaan land. And the valley of Achor was a land of problem. There was trouble there. Achan violated the will of God. And he and his family were put to death over that sin. And so he's telling Israel, in a sense, in the back door, he says, if you keep turning against me, you will bring judgment on yourself. But I'll even take those painful valleys, those painful circumstances, and I'll turn it into a door of hope. No matter what you're facing tonight, he wants to give us hope. So Hosea, he promised to open a door of hope for his wife of adultery. If she would just turn back to him, he would restore the property, the love, the livelihood, the joy that they once shared in their marriage. Remember when you first got married? I mean, honeymoon night was exciting. You couldn't wait for that. And then a couple days later, you go, are we done here yet? I mean, then you start your life. And I was a marriage counselor for a while. And it's usually, I can tell you this, it's true. It's a true statistic that in 5 years after you've been married, all of a sudden you begin to look at each other and you go, oh, 5 years, you know, this is a long time. It's a beginning. But in 5 years, do you know that there's more divorces that happen at the fifth year and the sixth year, right after the fifth year of marriages, than any other time of the marriage? It's not when the children grow up and get out of the house and there's an empty nest syndrome. It's really in that first 5 years, because all of a sudden you thought each other was going to be a certain way and then you found out not quite the way you thought. But, and you know what? It could turn out to be a real blessing. The Bible says, love your wives, husbands, as Christ loves her, and make her to be a beautiful bride that you present to yourself. All right, how are you doing with that, guys? Are you working on it? Okay, good. And the women, the Bible says, love your husband. Can you say amen? And it also says, call him Lord, like Sarah. So you women ought to go, oh, no, that is in the Bible, but I don't use that anymore. Okay, so he promised to give them a door of hope. And that hope and prosperity. So what was God doing in the background? The Lord, through Hosea's experience, he promised to give hope to those who had committed wrong and rejected him from being the Lord of their life, that he could give them a promise of future and draw them in. So Hosea, verse 16, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, you shall call me my husband and no longer call me my master. So what does that mean? I mean, she was calling him his master, her master? I don't think so. But he promised the adulterous wife a restored relationship, that he would forgive and accept his wife. The marriage bond would be completely restored. She could once again call him my husband for the bond of marriage. Intimacy would be reestablished in that marriage. So how does the Lord work through that? Hosea's experience, God promised to restore the relationship with this people of Israel in that day, that when they would return to God, that God would restore a relationship with them, that they would feel the intimacy of his love by the Holy Spirit in their life. And we sometimes feel like, God's with me. He's not going to let me go. And so then the next part, verse 17, And he says, for I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more, these false gods, these idols. And so Hosea was saying, literally, from that experience, he promised to have a true and renewed devotion, even to his wife of adultery. Boy, that would take a lot. And Hosea would do everything he could to spend and help his wife forget her former lovers. He would be the one guy in her life that nothing else would be there to distract her. Well, that's what God wanted, to work through that too. He wanted to take that experience, and God promises a glorious future of the restored Israel, that when they come back, he would love them and be with them, and he would be upon their lips to give him praise. And they would not call him master as though he's some kind of master, but he would be my husband, and he would be my Lord. And we are the bride of Christ, folks. So all of this speaks in the New Testament just as much. And so fifthly, out of the eight promises in verse 18, he says, in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the birds of the air and with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle, and I will scatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. So the fifth one is that the prophet promised his wife an environment of peace. There would be peace in the home, peace like a river within her life. But the Lord was going to show that he was going to take all the creation and all the creatures of the earth, both animals and people, they would coexist and it would be a blessing. And he would provide that for them. And the heavens would speak, the land would speak, and so on. So in Jezreel, they shall answer Jezreel. Remember, we talked about that last week. I don't have time to go into that. But that's where judgment's going to come during the tribulation period. And sixthly, verse 19, he tells him, or he tells her through him, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and chesed, in loyal love. I'll be loyal to you even though you haven't been loyal to me. Well, the Lord says, you haven't been loyal to me either, but I will show you my loyalty. And that's what God does for us. Even when we fail him, he doesn't fail us. Can you say, thank you, Lord? And seventhly is also in the next verse. Actually, it picks it up in verse 20 there. Hosea was promised his adulterous wife a life of renewed blessings, that she would be blessed and have this blessing. It takes us all the way over to verse 22, like I said. So Hosea would bring the blessing, but God himself wanted to bless, and he's going to bless Israel in the future. So then, verse 23, the last part, and he says, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who have not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. That's what God's looking for. But his wife would turn to him, and that's the hope. But in order for us to find that out, we'll have to move on in chapter 3 and 4 all the way through chapter 6. But so in the background, God's standing back there saying, yes, Hosea, this is working. Keep telling her that, because that's what I want to do. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants us to come to a place where we say, you are my God, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. Beautiful, God's restoration. Drawing them back again and claiming them as his people. Not that this has taken place yet, it hasn't. But Israel is in the land. Well, yeah, but they're not spiritual over there. And they're a secular nation today. There's a lot of religious people, but they're a minority. It's obvious, but there are the black hats and the fur hats and the black coats and little curls down the sides of the men's heads. And thus they've become obvious, especially around Jerusalem. But there's only about 10% of the people in Israel today that are really spiritually minded. They have a religious mindset, not a spiritual mindset. That's unfortunate. So the nation is considered a secular nation, at least in the eyes of God. And the spiritual work of God has not yet taken place, but it will take place, because ultimately, as I talked about, and we'll get further on in Hosea, it'll take place during the day of judgment, during the day of the tribulation period, and the 144,000 Jewish witnesses and the two major witnesses from Israel will speak to the Jewish people of that day, and there will be many who will turn to the Lord. So it isn't as spiritual as it's supposed to be. No. But there's a film tonight we're going to start. I was just trying to introduce this whole little section because there's actually more than one film. Tonight we're going to show a part of the first film, next week will be the remainder of that film. And then there's another, a part two, that'll all be done in one night. That's the following week. And then after that, you may not know this, but David Friedman, the individual, his amazing Jewish background, he grew up, from what I understand, in yeshiva, and he basically is the ambassador to Israel. Well, on July 2nd, they celebrated July 4th of the United States there. In where? The new embassy that the United States put there. It was the first celebration that they've ever had there. And it's all done now and for that part of it, and they celebrated there. David Friedman speaks, and so does President Trump from Air Force One. They put him telecasted in there, and I guess they'd call it telecast, but anyhow, they projected his image in there from Air Force One. He was on the plane, and they put him in live. And then also Benjamin Netanyahu, and they're celebrating the 4th of America. What a blessed nation we are. And there were many senators and many, both from both sides of the aisle, senators and congresspeople there that all have a desire for Israel and a love for Israel and many people of the world. So we're going to see that film, and then there's another film that comes up that David Friedman spoke, uniting Christians all over the various nations of the world, coming together and talking about the future of Israel and what God's got planned. So tonight, Fox Nation. It's a subscription streaming service of Fox News. I don't have that, but a man named Pete Hegseth, he's a senior political analyst for Fox News and an Army major in the Ready Reserve. He's also Iraq and Afghanistan infantry combat veteran with two Bronze Stars and a combat infantryman's badge for his tours there. He is going to Israel, so tonight I'm going to take you to Israel. It's no cost, but we're going to take you there so you can see what's going on with Israel, because we know what God wants.